It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
It is a good life living for the Lord. And of course, as we live for the Lord, we also need to say it is a great life to be able to serve the Lord. In Psalm chapter 18 and verse 2, it says there, "The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my foundation. He is solid." And it goes on to say, "And my fortress." He guards me. I'm within the walls of His protection and my deliverer. When something comes into my life that I can't handle, I can look to the Lord to deliver me. And it says there in Psalm 18, 2, "My God." My God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. It also says, "My strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." The horn of my salvation, Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of my salvation because He gave His life for me on the cross of Calvary. Join with me now as we study the Word of God. We continue our study today in the book of James. And let me remind you that last time we looked at who the author was of this epistle, and I believe it was James, the half-brother of Jesus, if we compare Scripture with Scripture. The date that this epistle was written seems to have been around AD 45. And the setting, this book was written to Jewish Christians who had been scattered from Palestine by persecution or other situations. And I believe the key verse found in chapter 1 is verse 22, where it says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And we look at James chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting." James wanted to reach his fellow Jewish people with the word of God, so he's also writing to them. We see something in verse 1, it says, verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." So we see he's not only writing to Jews, but he's writing also to Jewish believers who have trusted Jesus as Savior. And verse 3, it says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." It's hard to believe, but good results come from temptation. And it seems that James is saying, recognize the fruit of testing in verses 2 through 4. Joy, patience, making perfect, he says, and complete with nothing missing. And then we also see how to make sound decisions in verses 5 through 8. Verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Ask God for help, James is saying here, in making sensible decisions. We can come to a lot of decisions, but we need to be able to make sensible decisions. And he says we can do that according to verse 5. And then we see in verse 6, it says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." In verse 6, it says, "Ask for wisdom, and don't doubt, without doubting. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed." And we see that in that verse also that the person who wavers is like the sea. They're unstable. They cannot make sound decisions. And then in verse 7, the Bible says, "For let not that man," that person who's wavering, "but let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Well, James seems to be saying here that no faith means no blessing from the Lord. Faith brings blessings, and we must have faith. And this is, of course, talking about, first of all, we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, who can save us. But it goes further than that. It talks about having faith after you're saved, faith believing that God's going to do over and above what He's already done, and that saves you. In order to be successful in the Christian life, we must have that faith continue on, not to remain saved, but in order to receive the blessings God wants to give us. We must have that faith. We must faith believe. And then in verse 8, it says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A person who cannot make sound decisions is not sure of anything. And that carries through these verses that we just read, verses 5 through 8. That person who cannot make sound decisions is really not sure. And remember, the verse says that they're tossed to and fro like the wave of the sea. Well, then we read in verses 9 through 11 something here that humbleness produces the proper perspective about life. Verse 9 says, let thy brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. I believe James is saying here, are you poor? Be happy. You are lifted high. We may not understand that, but he's actually talking about being lifted higher than what we anticipated. You're lifted high, and this would be in the sight of God. And what better way and a better person to be lifted up to is God. There is no better person. There is no other blessing that can come of a higher degree than to be lifted up and be blessed by God. And the verses 10 through 11. But the rich, in that he is made low. Now, remember, verse 9 says, but let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, or that person who is poor. And verse 10 says, but let the rich, in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. I believe that James is saying here in verses 10 through 11, riches are only for a season, like the grass and flowers. There's nothing wrong with being rich, but we should never place our trust in riches. And of course, when we get saved, we're placing our trust in the Lord. But after we get saved, there are some people who are actually rich. They have money after they get saved. Now, they've placed their trust in the Lord. They've said, I want Jesus Christ. I'm not trusting my riches to be saved. But then it seems like they start trusting in their riches to get through this life, not to remain saved now, but in order to get through this life, they start trusting in riches. And James warns about that. He says, just as you're not saved by riches or by trusting in those riches, you were really not made happy through those riches. Don't trust in riches, because they're going to be gone someday. And then in James chapter 1 and verse 12, we see a promised blessing there. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. A promised blessing. A loving promise is seen here, the crown of life. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul the Apostle carried the thought of James chapter 1 and verse 12 further. He said that he was complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's forgetting those things which are behind and pressed toward the mark. We have a guilty conscience sometimes as saved people. We worry about what has taken place in the past. When God says, forget that, it's over with. You need to reach forth. You need to go forward and serve me in the fullness of the Spirit. In Revelation 2:10, it says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Doesn't mean everybody's going to die. Doesn't mean we're all going to suffer alike, or that even we will suffer. He says, you remain faithful and receive the crown of life. Now James chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. This is recognizing God as the source of all good things. Notice verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 13 tells us that God is not the tempter. You remember how that Jesus himself was tempted of the devil. Jesus was led into the wilderness, and the devil came and tempted him. But Jesus said, get thee behind me. He says, leave me alone. And we understand by reading, once again, comparing Scripture with Scripture, that God is not the tempter. When temptation comes along, it is not God who is doing the tempting. Notice verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Man is at fault when giving in to temptation, according to verse 14. It's not God. It's really not the devil. It's our fault. It's man's fault. Man is at fault when he gives in to the temptation. Verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Lust made alive, in other words, it produces something. When lust is alive, when we allow it to come into our lives, lust made alive produces sin. And of course, the result of sin is death, according to verse 15. Verse 16 says this, do not err, my beloved brethren. And that's pretty simple. In other words, don't do wrong. Verse 17, the first part of the verse says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Everything that is good comes from God. We sometimes think that we're the ones who bring the good into our own lives, but it's God who gives the good. All the good in this world, all the good in our lives come from God. And the rest of that verse in verse 17, it says, talks about the Father of lights there in verse 17, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Well, this is simply saying that God makes no mistakes. He does not change. There is no variableness with God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now notice verse 18. Speaking of God once again, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Well, this simply is saying, I believe God brought us into being by Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, it talks about the truth. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And of course, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you know him today as your Savior? You need to ask him to come into your heart. The next time we're going to pick up with James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. That's where we'll start. But you need to start today by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ask him to come into your heart. And if you are saved, you need to live for him. Lord, I want to live for you. And you need to let him lead and guide your life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.